Heavenly Father, in the storms of life, you are there for us. You smile down upon us and are gracious to us and never given us any more than we can handle. We appreciate that, Lord. Tonight, we're learning a little bit about giving, not only our time, but our money and how we should manage it. We thank you for these lessons. We always pray for a gift of Pentecostal hearing, that every man in here will take something home with him that he can apply during the week and for the rest of his life. As always, we ask you to protect us, protect our families, protect this great nation we live in. We love you, Lord, and we just can't wait to learn more about you. In Jesus' name, amen. So, back in the summer, when I put together the CBS schedule working with Dan, chapters 8 and 9 came up on giving, and I asked Jerry if I could talk, because Jerry knows I have a heart for giving, and that he's asked me to put something together. And of course, I haven't had until now the opportunity to put a 20-25 minute talk together on giving. So, next slide, please. Part of the storms of life I talked about in the beginning is I always use my laptop, my HDMI port's broken. So then we had to email it, I couldn't remember my AOL ID, you know, so instead of preparing for the last hour of praying, I was Phil and I. Thank you, Phil, for your generosity and time back there. Phil and I put together the PowerPoint and got it going because Dan, the guy, is usually in the booth out, so, but we're here. So some of the things we're going to do tonight is we're going to look at biblical principles of giving. I'm going to share two amazing stories in my life where giving has let me glorify God. And then through this, we'll talk some practical recommendations that can enhance your life through giving. Next slide, please. So Stephen Covey says, if the ladder, or your ladder, is not leaning against the right wall, every step we take just gets us to the wrong place faster. And in our lesson tonight, and all the stuff I studied, the first thing is give yourself to Christ. That's the first thing. Your ladder has got to be leaning against the right wall that starts this whole Christian life, this whole series of generosity and giving off in the right direction. Jesus became poor so we are rich. And God wants to bless us so we can bless others. So step one, give yourself to Christ. Next slide, please. Okay. Biblical giving originates in the grace of God. He hasn't given you anything, don't give him a dime. He has provided you anything out. Will pour out for others the same measure that is poured into you. So it's a matter of the heart. And you need to look at it. God is everything we have. No matter how much and how great. And that we're always told that God loves us, giver, all that kind of stuff. But it's still a matter of our heart. If you're doing it, public recognition for what you're doing, and you're thinking, it's time to do something different. Because we're going to talk about that, how that worked out for people in the Bible, and what their mission was. So, next slide, please. So the tithe is defined as a tenth of the produce of the earth consecrated and set apart for special purposes. The dedication of the tenth to God was recognized as a duty before in the time of Moses. Abraham paid tithes to Melchizedek.
He studied that back in Hebrews
and that one in Genesis. And Jacob vowed to the Lord, of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give the tenth. But those ties were supposed to support the temple and the priesthood, and now we're called to give what we get.
And there's a concept here of first fruits is giving our best to the Lord and not the leftovers.
So when we sit down to think about what we're going to give, it needs to come off the top. Not at the end of the month, maybe after we run through the budget and everything, and if we've got something left, we'll give. One of the things that strikes me is 8:41. You wanted us to wait for you? I mean, loser squared on this one. 11 minutes, you know?
Anyways, a long time ago,
I dedicated the first hour of my day to studying the Word of God. It's blessed me more than I can put into words to describe to you. Now I think of it as an offering unto the Lord. It's another form of giving where every day the first thing I do is sit down and learn His Word. When you make good decisions day in and day out, they become disciplines. Now I ask myself, how I could not start today off without sitting with the Lord for 45 minutes or an hour? And for me, it's getting out of the blocks and getting the momentum right and getting the frame of mind right, then nothing during my day can knock me off when I get started the right way. So, you know, this is another form of giving. You give yourself to learn to Him, but it comes back to you in blessings tenfold, and we're going to talk about some of this in a little bit. So this concept is from the top, and giving is not just financial, but it's your own personality, too, what you personally give. Next slide, please. If you're giving for recognition, it's not going to work out. I mean, we got to ask Ananias and Sapphira how that worked out for them, right? I found this cartoon I thought was pretty funny with a big check sitting in front of church and the guy smiling and having a picture taken and all that.
$20.
If it wasn't for the red hair, I could have swore it was Burton. You know, but in Matthew, yeah, go Orange, that's it. In Matthew chapter 6, we're told, be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets or as the hypocrites do in the synagogues or on the streets to be honored by others. But truly I tell you, they have received the reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father, who sees what has been done in secret, will reward you. This is so true. One of the things that, you know, we're going to talk about giving plans a little bit as a family and stuff like that. But in today's society, they're like, well, can we put your name up? And I'm like, no, I never. If you're going to give, it's not about putting your name up on the wall or even on a secular thing, having your name in the alumni book as somebody who gave. That's not the way we want to give. And it's important here. Giving that way is not it's not going to get you into heaven. It's only giving from the heart and doing it anonymously. So next slide, please. So you know, I talked about this up front. I thought this picture was pretty good about the self-made man. You know, if I was going to ask you who's a self-made man, kind of trick you, and everybody says, "Well, yeah, I did it," right? But we all know that there's no such thing as a self-made man. God has given you everything. God gave you your family, your education. Everything comes from Him, and everything goes back to Him. Next slide, please. Oops. So we've all heard the gospel rendition of render to Caesar what is Caesar. And we know from Genesis that we're made in the image of God. So 100% of what we do belongs to be God. And our prayer should be, it's all yours, Lord. Tell me what you want me to do with it. So if you don't have money to give or you're not moved that way, I encourage you to give your time. Tons of programs. You don't have to give. You don't have to go. Mission trips are great, but you don't have the time. There's churches that do second Saturday serves or every second Saturday of a month. They run out and do stuff. Or you can go to food pantries around the area or wherever you feel like you need to serve. But I think it's a two-pronged thing. It's your time and your money. And there's lots of opportunities. You know, people say, well, I'm busy. And maybe you guys with young children can say, let's do it as a family and find something that's age-appropriate to do. I would encourage you to do that. You know, you guys have heard me talk about our family mission trips and how much they blessed us. And I encourage you all to find a way to give, not just your money, but your time, because your time is important. Next slide, please. So this is the thing, is giving something that counts. Sometimes we're blessed financially that the thing that really counts to us is our time. And so giving your time, like I just said, counts a lot. You know, this is the widow's mite in Matthew 12. 41 and 43, Jesus sat down opposite the place where the offerings were put and watched the crowd putting their money into the temple treasury. Many rich people threw in large amounts, but a poor widow came in and put two very small copper coins, worth only a few cents. Calling his disciples to him, Jesus said, "Truly, I tell you, this poor widow has put in more into the treasury than the others." And in God's grace, he uses the widow's mite more to advance the kingdom than a huge donation. We're also told in 2 Samuel that David wouldn't give anything unto the Lord that it didn't cost him anything. You know, there was an example where he was going to concentrate some land, and the guy said, no, take it. He said, no, I have to pay for it. So it's all God's. We're steward, and we're called to give an account of it. Next slide, please. So opportunities for you to give are arranged by God. And when you get this idea of a generous heart with your time and your money and how you approach things, you need to be you're on the lookout for opportunities to give. And they come to you. And, you know, we talked about tonight in leaders' meeting about at the end of the workbook, there's a point that says, pray to God gives you amount and directs it. Running around here, I was going to put it up on the screen, and I didn't have time to fix the PowerPoint. But it's right at the end of the lesson, Chris pointed out about how ask God to give you amount and direct you how to give it. He'll do it. But opportunities arranged are given by the Lord. You got to be on the lookout. Here we have the example on the far right of the Good Samaritan. We all know the story. Lots of people passed this battered and beaten traveler along the road before this guy came around and then nursed him back to health. One of the things that we need to understand is James 4:17, if anyone then knows the good they ought to do and doesn't do it, it's a sin for them. It happened this week. With the Metro coming out to Reston, we have more people who are asking for money on the streets than we ever had before since they opened the Metro. I don't know if you guys have noticed it, but it's happening. So I come out of CVS, I'm in a hurry. A guy says, "Hey, I'm hungry." And my daughter just got her wisdom teeth out, and I was just getting her prescriptions filled, and she's in the car. And I got 20 feet away from him, and I said, "Darn it." So went into Starbucks, and I was trying to buy a cold sandwich, and the lady insisted it would be hot, so I had to wait another minute while she cooked it. You know, and I'm like, "Really, God, my daughter's in the car. She's waiting. She's all drugged up. I got to get her home." And it's like, no, this is what he wanted me to do. So I took a hot sandwich, brought it back out, handed it to the guy, and then went on my way. But lots of times I've turned around. I don't know, maybe you guys have had the same thing where you, the first tug, you're busy and you fly right by, right? And then it's that second tug, and you say, "Oh, come on, I'm already late for my meeting, or I got to catch this flight," or whatever it is. But I think it's, you know, when you have a generous heart, you should be on the lookout. God's going to bring you opportunities. And, you know, as I talked before, lots of time God's talking to us, and we've got the Heisman out there, right? I'm too busy. I gave on Sunday or whatever. No, he wants you to give more. Next slide, please. This is the fun part. So, giving back for the glory of God. So I'm going to share two stories where God is really, really it's hot in here. It's really blessed me in my life to give in. And the first story is, first of all, I realized that I got in the software industry totally by the grace of God. Why a kid in the 70s, he was paying for his own school, would sign up for a sixth course every semester, paying out of his own pocket. I mean, I had two or three jobs in school to work my way through. But that set the table for me to be in the software industry, and has blessed me many times over. And so even though we had saved for our kids' college tuition, when our kids went to school to be good stewards, we asked our children to apply for every scholarship they could find. We thought that was their duty. So the girls are better at it than the guys. My son was a procrastinator. And he did most of his college applications on 12/31, the day before they're due, right? And it was 7 o'clock at night, and he's a senior in high school, and he wants to go with his friends. And he said, "Dad, I don't have to do," this was Vanderbilt, "I don't have to do that application to Vanderbilt, do I?" I said, no, that was our agreement. Get back up there and write your essay, because there was one more essay I had to write. So got mad at me, went back upstairs, spent an hour and a half, and I'm thinking, well, this is really going to be good, right? Because the last thing he wanted to do was to write this essay for this scholarship. So fast forward 3 or 4 months, it's basketball season. The game was on Saturday night. It was Friday night. So he's running in the house to run upstairs to shower, to get the heck out of Dodge and, you know, be home by 11 o'clock or midnight, whatever his curfew was at the time. And my wife, who tracks every date meticulously, said, as he's running down the stairs, like beelining to get out of the house, we're sitting at the kitchen table after dinner, and she said to him, Patrick, didn't Vanderbilt announce the scholarship winners today? And it's like, oh, do I have to? And of course, on his iPhone, it's 2 hits. Well, long story short, he got a scholarship. You know? But that's not the fantastic thing about it, because the fantastic thing about it was that earlier I told you that Lord had blessed us many times over in the software industry, and we purposed in our hearts, Lynn and I, we do a lot of this praying together about this, that we would make up the difference for every one of our nieces and nephews, that what they could put in from themselves donating and then their parents, even if it was zero and they had to work just for their own money at school, we were okay with it, we picked up the tab. So it wasn't until a couple days after when I sat down and realized that God had provided mightily, because what he got in tuition was exactly equal to all the money we had given away for all the nieces and nephews up to that point in time. And I think God has got a great sense of humor, and he's working every day in our lives, and we just don't know it. But to me, it was like within, roughly $1,000. It's probably exact, because I probably didn't add it up right. But an amazing story, and an amazing story for when we went back to tell each one of our nieces and nephews, hey, don't worry about it. Don't thank us, thank God, because that's what God's done. So that's one story. Then the next story is, recently, 18 months ago, I sold my firm Moreover to LexisNexis Reed Elsevier. And before that started, Lynn and I did the same thing. We sat down and said, okay, well, we're going to go into this. Well, if this is successful, it's going to be all about God. And if we're going to do this all for God, up in advance, we determined how much. It was a big number, a big percentage, way over 10% of what we make would go to the Lord. So, we got involved in this, and it wasn't easy. It was pretty rough in the beginning. I don't know if you guys know anything about capital calls, but that's when you got to put more money in after the money you invested just to get things rolling right. Went through a couple of those. By the end of the time, as you keep on putting money in, it's over 5 or 6 years, it gets a little risky. My wife was sweating it out and stuff, wondering whether we were going to sell or not. But one of the things we did continually was I like to do ministry work, my other partners do, and we'd always say a prayer before we left, and the prayer was like this: God, I'll be your hands and feet on earth, and I'm going to leave right now for the next couple hours this afternoon, and you take the wheel of Moreover. And I can't tell you, time and time again, big customer blow-ups were handled. You know, if I left in the middle of a storm, and we always would say, it's okay if you leave in the middle of a storm if you say the prayer. We left in the middle of a storm, handled. Big contract was supposed to come in the middle of negotiation, come back 2 hours or 3 hours later, it was handled. Couldn't find an error in accounting was handled. We were in the middle of this whole thing. God provided for us. I just can't tell you how many times over and over. If I had a book, it would be 4 or 5 pages, single space long, of the things he did for us. We sold Samsung USA, and we needed an experienced PM, project manager, to handle it. We didn't have anybody. Nobody that had any experience to do this on staff. So it was like, we sold it, and the good news is you sold it. The bad news is you sold it, right? Monday morning, I get a call from a guy. Hey, I've heard about your firm. I got a 60-day gap between employment. You got anything for me to do? And he had all the exact qualifications we needed. I mean, everything we had. We never missed a quarter, and that was the last 2.5 years, and that was by the grace of God. So we cheerfully gave when that whole bunch of money came in. Because, and we took it right off the top. That's the way to do it. And I can't tell you, I could tell you we're blessed by it, but I also could tell you that he's blessed us many times over. And if you remember the story, you think it's fantastic, I didn't explain it right. It's 10 times more fantastic and 10 times more true than I could ever explain to you guys about the grace of God and dedicating yourself to him. And, you know, we pray at work and all that stuff where God just comes back and you make yourself available to him and he makes himself available to you. And it's just a fantastic relationship. So next slide, please. So just four or five things I want to say to you as we come down the home stretch is focus giving. So as a family, we decided long ago that we'd only give to Christian evangelical causes. We said we're just going to focus our money. So not that we don't love the fire department when it calls or the police, all right, for the stickers. We just say, look, we just don't do this. We only give to one thing. We give to Christian causes. So if you can hand out a script for everybody when you're doing it, well, then maybe we'll think about it. But focus giving is good. You got to have a plan. And you also have to do your research. You just can't go, oh, that one sounds good. You should give to the charities that take the largest percentage of your dollar and give it back to the people. So like in Christian organizations, there's audits. There's, you know, famous audit committees that audit these people, that they publish their numbers of how much money gets back, and you need to look. And you'd be amazed sometimes how it isn't. I mean, on a secular event, recently in the news, they had the Wounded Warrior guys that were spending a large portion of the chunks of the money as you went to the disabled vets. So, as I say, have a plan. You'll sow what you weep. And I really believe that you will meet a bunch of people in heaven that you affected, you had no idea. Just a bunch of people be lined up if you really get involved in it and dive into it. The other one was family giving meetings. We would ask the kids at the time when they were young what they had a heart for and give to those causes as well. We said, here's our budget. What percentage do you want to give to this and this cause? And the kids would tell us. And that was a great way for us to get them involved and other people involved in it. So something you could think about, those people with families. A couple other things is that if you have joy and peace and satisfaction from your giving, you're right on. But if you're experiencing anguish, hesitation, and uneasiness, then reconsider. Maybe it's not the right cause or the right time. You know, it's really, really important that you feel, do this joyfully. The important thing, too, is these people pray for you. You know, they send you prayer lists. You pray for them. They're praying for their donors, too, which is amazing that I know that I'm the beneficiary of this grace that comes back at me because we give joyfully. And by the way, giving must not come from pressure. So if you're in a place and you're feeling pressure to give because they put the big show on, then get out. One of the things that we do that I would recommend is when you get invited to the dinner, you know they're going to ask you to give a pledge. So sit down with your wife before you go and determine what you're going to give, and we pre-write the check out and put it in our pocket. So, you know, whatever they goes on there tonight, we're happy to support them, whatever. But it's not a, have you ever been at one of these dinners and you and your wife are trying to communicate how much to give? And the other people around, and you're going like two for 200, and she's going one, and then she goes half, and you're trying to, no, do it in advance. Pray about it, you know, because that's just the way it could be. And you could, yeah, you all been there before. I've done it before we got on it. I mean, so I know what's in. So don't be pressured into giving. A couple last recommendations for you guys are, next slide. You're told to be a cheerful giver, but we know from the book tonight that, next slide, be a hilarious giver, you know. And that will bring you multiple sets of joy, and you'll bless other people, and they'll bless you. So thank you, gentlemen. Let's have a closing prayer. And I'm okay, Steve. It's 9:01 and 4 seconds. I'm all right? Okay, thanks. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your lessons tonight about giving. We pray that we not only give our financial resources, but what we have is our time. We know you're much better at directing the giving than anybody else. So we pray that we listen to you, that you guide us, you direct our steps, become light to us. As always, Lord, protect our families and bless us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Good night, guys. Be safe.